as she was saying that, I know some of you are thinking, you know, I don't know that I would thank God for a storm in my life. And you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. That's where I think I'm going to preach from this morning. But I want to turn back to Psalm 107. And while she was singing that, I just remembered something from that psalm that is worth thinking through. And so you'll get a devotional thought and a sermon and this morning. But from Psalm 107 in verse number 23, it's what it's, just listen to what it says. Think about it, what she just sang to you and what it meant. This is what it says. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. This is what they have to do. They have to be on the waters. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Now watch what it says. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy winds. Sometimes we think the storms are the devil. This says that God will bring a storm, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They're huge. They go down against the depths. They drop really low. Their soul is melted because of trouble. This is what happens to them. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Have you ever been there before? You feel like I'm at my wits' end? And then it says, the result of that, sometimes we go through a storm to get us to cry out to God. In verse 28, it says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of all their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. And then it says this, it repeats this phrase through Psalm 107, but here's what it says. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. You know what you're exalting him for? He created a storm for you to go through to get to your wit's end so you would learn to trust him. Sometimes it's hard to think that way, but that's because sometimes we go through little storms to get us ready for the big storms. And so you'll know that when you're in a storm, like Peter, in a storm where the waves are tossing and he's saying, don't you care that you care not that we're going to perish. And the Lord said, why are you so afraid? Just have faith. And he learns in the song, he learns something from there that helps him when he's in a prison. You know where he was at and when he's in prison, which he was just singing about. Do you know where he was at? You know what he was doing whenever the angel came in to tell him, let's go? What was he doing? He was asleep. How do you fall asleep in a prison like that? Well, when you're calm, you can. When everything's around you is raging, but you feel like you got the peace of God, you can. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So just a little extra thought for whatever you might be going through. I got a call from a family this morning about 7:30, and they're in a different state. Boy, they're really going through it. I mean, really going through it. And I thought, I don't know if they're watching this morning with us. They may be. And if they are, that song would have helped them greatly. That would have helped them greatly. So thanks for being used of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, you should have the title up there, Vessels. In 2 Timothy 2, in verse number 19, watch what it says. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And I thank God for that. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house. And that's what, you know, when you think about the fact that you're in the, not in this church house, but when you're in the household of God. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about that, you know, the Jews, the Gentiles, they were separated from God because of their sin. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he makes a way for them to be reconciled to him. And even goes further and talks about the Gentiles in Ephesians chapter 2. And it says that you used to be alienated and separated from the covenants and the promises and without hope in the world. But because of Jesus Christ, by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're made nigh unto him. You that were far off are made nigh. Then it says, at the end of that, Ephesians 2, we're part of the household of God. And so in a great house, all the saved people together in the household of God, in the family of God in that sense, we're in a great house. It's a great house. And more people can say amen than Brother Buddy if you want to, but it is a great house. Maybe not this house, this is great, but the household of God is a great house. That's a wonderful house you're part of. It's a wonderful house to be a part of because he is the head of that household. It's wonderful to know that God is the head of my household. Brother Andrew said it a while ago. He's not only my my creator, but he's my savior and he's my friend. And that's a big thing, to be the creator of the universe being your savior and be your friend. It's a great house, but it's not only a great house because of that. It's a great house because of what it costs to build. We're in the final stages of building a house right now, and it's not a really elaborate house, but I can tell you this, the price of houses have gone up, material goes up, and it costs a lot to build a house. But this household we're talking about costs heaven everything. I mean, think about what it costs. God, the Bible says, I was going to recite this in the prayer a while ago, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it talks about that he who was rich, we're talking about Jesus Christ, became poor that we might be made rich in Christ, meaning not physically wealthy, but the idea that he left all of glory and came here and paid the price so that you can have eternal riches in heaven. And so there is that household. It's a great house, not only because of who's in charge of that house, but what that house costs. And so when he says here, in a great house are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That's the good vessel. That's the good vessel. You know, in your house, you have different vessels. You have vessels that would be an honored vessel. And you have some vessels that would be more of a, that have a role that's more of a dishonorable role. You know that, right? I mean, Stacy's got her favorite coffee cups. I got my favorite coffee cup. Now, because we're in the process of moving and living in the travel trailer, I don't have any of my great coffee cups that I like, so I'm using her coffee cups. So she's got a bunch of University of Hawaii coffee cups that from when she was in school, and so I'm using those now. And I've got one that I use all the time now that's become, I've kind of seized it. It's become my coffee cup, and I use it. And so in the morning, one of the first things I'm headed towards in the morning is on the way past the door to let the dog out of the trailer is I'm headed towards that green University of Hawaii coffee cup. To me, in my house, you say, where's the vessel of honor? I'd say it's sitting right there in the front of that one cabinet, and that's the first vessel I run to in the morning, that vessel of honor. Now, shortly after we've been up for a little while, Gabriella will go through her cycles of what she goes through in the morning, and so then I'll have to use the other vessel that's in the house. It's a vessel of dishonor, the garbage can on the way out the door. And so you have two vessels. Listen, it's a house. And in that house, you have an honorable vessel. And you have a less honorable vessel, right? And so there's some vessels in the house. That's what he says. In a house, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. But you know what the truth is? They're all in the house. They're in the house. And the Lord, in the verse 19, the Lord knows those are his. He knows those that are his in the house. But this is what I want you to think about. Are you becoming a vessel that brings honor, that's the choice vessel that he reaches for? Are you becoming the vessel in the house of God that is an honorable vessel? Or are you becoming less honorable in the sense of becoming a dishonorable vessel, not bringing honor to the one that's the head of the household that purchased with his own blood the house? And so honorable versus dishonorable vessels. In verse number 22, it says this, flee also youthful lust and follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle in all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Now, that's an interesting phrase there. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. They're in opposition to what's best for them. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and they that may and that they may recover themselves, watch this now, listen to this phrase, out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, this is the way I look at this chapter and think about it. Here he said, because I want you to get this whole thing, he's doing good. He's doing good. Brand new baby, bringing him in. He's doing good. He's doing good. All right, don't you think about it just for a second. Watch me now. Listen. In the house, there are vessels that can be very honorable, and there's vessels that can bring dishonor. in the house. He goes on to say, if you're going to purge yourself from some things, you can be a vessel that's meet for the master's use, a vessel of honor. If you don't, you'd be a vessel of dishonor. Which vessel are you going to be? And then he goes down and talks about you have the servant of God that's trying to instruct you in meekness and help you to keep you on the right track, to help those, instruct those that oppose themselves. Now watch now, there are people that are actually in opposition to what's best for their life. And it says at the end of the chapter, what happens to that person is they're being taken by Satan at Satan's will. You say, well, this is a lost person. Not in the context, it's a saved person. It's a saved person that is walking along, not listening to the things of God, not doing what God's telling them to do in their life, not listening to the preaching, not listening to the teaching, not the Word of God, not all the things here. And they're actually, watch, they're in opposition to what's best for them. And when you're opposing and pushing away from the things that are the best thing for you, you're walking right into the traps of the devil. He's setting up traps. How many of you have set a trap before for anything in your life? A few people. All right, if you set a trap up, nobody sets a trap up and then puts a bunch of neon signs pointing at it saying, trap here, come this way, trap's right here, this is where it's at. Nobody does that. You don't put like red flags around it saying, this is the place, come this way, this is where I want you to be at. You don't do that. You try to, what? You try to hide it, right? This is what's happened to people is they get off the track that God wants them to be in and they start stumbling around the darkness and things they shouldn't be in until they step into the trap of Satan. And this is what's interesting about it. It says, at whose will? At his will. Whenever he's ready to spring the trap, it's time. Now here's the issue. There's people that will dabble off into sinful things and playing around. They're thinking, this is what people are thinking, I'm getting away with it. No, you're not. There'll come a time when Satan says, it's time to spring that trap. It's trying to bring it to light. It's trying to reveal it. It's trying to get them. They thought they were just playing around, you know, skipping through it. It's all right. It's time now. It snaps shut. And now everything has come to light. It's all been laid to bear. And so the idea is when you look at this, he's saying, this is a vessel of honor, a vessel of dishonor. So how does a person become a vessel of dishonor? In this, when you look at this, what is it? What is a dishonorable vessel? It's this. There are people, and I want you to get this, this is the meat of the whole sermon, is this. There are people that will be in the house of God, saved people. But you know what they become? They become an example of what to never be in life. You say, what a terrible thing. It is a terrible thing. There are people that many of you could think of right now. There's pastors that are in prison right now. You know what they serve as? They serve as an example of what never to do in the ministry. You say, well, what are they? They're still in the house. They didn't get kicked out of the house. They didn't lose their salvation because of sin. Sin doesn't separate you from God. Listen, you didn't do anything to earn your salvation. You can't do anything to disclude you from your salvation. Your salvation has been paid for by Jesus Christ. Past, present, and future sin has been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. But you know what you can do? You can have to suffer in this life the consequences of what you do in this life. It doesn't mean you're out of the house of God. That means you're separate from the family of God. Listen, there's nothing that she can do that'll ever separate me from the love I have for her. Both of them, my wife and my daughter. Nothing can separate me from that. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. He says it in Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you. In fact, do this. Say that with me. Nothing can separate you. Say it. Nothing can separate you. Nothing can. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You know what you can do? You can become a vessel in the house of God that brought nothing but dishonor to the one that purchased the house. You can become a vessel of dishonor. And you can become something that people look at, and I'm going to show you another verse in a minute, people look at and say, I don't want to go down that road. Listen, you didn't start off thinking that's the way you're going to go. You didn't start off thinking, I know what I'm going to be. I'm going to be a vessel of dishonor. No, everybody starts off thinking, I'm going to be a vessel that's honorable. But what happens is when you start pushing against the things that you know you're supposed to have in your life and you start venturing out on your own in another area, you can fall into the traps of becoming the vessel of dishonor. So I want to look for just a little while this morning at some of this and look at the vessel of honor. I'm just going to show you some things through this verse. I'm not going to preach through all of them, but I just want to show you some things in here. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 1. Just go back to the very first verse. The very first verse, becoming a vessel of honor. You know, when I talked about, when I looked at that phrase, opposing themselves in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, I thought about this. I've been thinking about it for a couple of weeks now. That there's some people, I wish I had the illustrations to show you, but there's people that are standing over here that are saying, I'm in opposition to what is best for my life. You know, there's people probably sitting right here in this room. You're here on Sunday morning, but your heart is in opposition to what's actually best for you, best for your spouse, best for your children, best for your life. You're in direct opposition for what's actually best for you. But then if there's somebody that's in its opposition, and that's going to be the vessel of dishonor, if there's a vessel on this side that is a vessel of honor, do you know what it is? It is not an opposition, but it is positioning itself for greatness. Positioning itself to be something greatly used to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what you've got to decide today, are you in opposition or are you putting yourself in position for greatness or for dishonor? Which one do you want to be in this thing? Well, the first thing is when you look at it in verse number 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The first thing you got to be is you got to know that you have experienced the grace of God in Christ Jesus. That's the first thing. You got to be strong in it. You need to be strong in knowing that you are a child of God. We talked about this in depth last week. The idea is you need to know that you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are a child of God. Not just I hope I'll go to heaven when I die. Not just I would like to think that I might go to heaven when I die. Folks, the Bible says these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. You can absolutely know that you have eternal life. I run into people sometimes from different religions, different backgrounds, and you say, are you going to go to heaven when you die? Do you know that you go to heaven when you die? They say, well, I think so. Some would say, I hope so. Some would say, I'd want to know so. The fact is, you can know so. You can know without a shadow of a doubt that your faith and trust is in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that that is what you need for salvation. The Bible says, as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You become His child the very moment you put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, if you look at, spend some time looking at John chapter number 3, it talks about, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know what? You can have everlasting life. It goes on down all the way down. Verse number 36 talks about those that don't believe, the wrath of God abides on them. And so you can know for sure. So the very first thing he says is, you need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You need to know that you're saved. But then the second thing that's in verse number 2, it says this, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So not only are you strong in grace, but second, you need to be somebody that spreads the word. Somebody that tells other people, listen, the things that you're learning, listen, don't just come into church and learn truths. Hopefully you come to church and learn truths. But don't just come in and learn truths. Come in and learn truths and then go and teach those truths to other people. Go and tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. I was talking to somebody this morning. I was taking Gabriella on a tour around the church, and she was trying to draw with markers in there. She had a pretty little white dress on, and I thought, I don't want to get markers all over. So I said, let's walk around. So we went around the church. We ended up in the nursery, and I don't think she ever knew of that glorious place back there called the nursery. When she walked in, there was a lady with a banana. And there was a lady with little animal crackers, and there was cars, and there was balls, and there was toys, and there was kids. And she got in there, and she was like, wow, this is wonderful. And she played with all kinds of stuff. She was going all over the place, doing all kinds of things. And I don't remember why I told you she was going to the nursery. I'm not completely sure. Oh, I know. I wanted to take her in there. But when I was in there, I was talking to one of the ladies. And she said that while she was at work, that she was talking to another lady that was going through a hard time and began to witness and tell her testimony. And she said, the lady said, I didn't know that people like you existed that were real people that had a real, you know, life, but also felt free to just talk about who Jesus was in their life. And she said, oh, yeah. And they began to talk. And she said it made a real impact in that lady's life. She was going through something, so she was very humbled at the time, and it really made an impact on her life. I told that lady that was telling that, I said, listen, that's what we try to talk about all the time in Christianity, is you don't have to be a pastor or a preacher or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or something to share your faith with people. It's not just about sharing your faith in church. It's about sharing your faith everywhere you go in life. You can be a construction worker and talk to the person next to you. You can be a police officer and talk to the person on patrol with you. You can be a soldier and talk to your buddy at work. You can be a student and talk to another student at school. You can tell other people about Jesus Christ in your life. But listen, one of the things that you've got to do in order to get yourself positioned to be a vessel of honor is, one, know that you're saved, but two, start telling other people about the household you live in. Start telling others about it. And so the things that you've heard, tell them to other people, he says. Commit them to faithful men. You should be able to teach others also. And then he says in verse number 3, watch what he says here. He says, and thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know what you need to have? You need to have a soldier's mentality, meaning, this is mostly military people or ex-military people. You have a soldier's mentality with this type of mindset. You need to make sure you're doing everything possible to please your commander-in-chief. And it's going to be, I don't know if anybody's, if you've been, you say, I don't know if I've been saved for very long. Listen, if you've been saved any amount of time, you know that just because you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior did not mean that everything became like unicorns and rainbows and ice cream sundaes the next week. You still had issues in life, right? How many say amen to that? You have to endure hardness as a good soldier, even as a child of God. You're going to go through some difficult things. Listen, this is what happens to you sometimes. This is why I want you to get this point. Because if you don't endure hardness as a good soldier and stay focused on Lord Jesus Christ, what happens is you get hit with something in your life that is hard for you, that is difficult for you. A brother lets you down. A sister lets you down. You feel like in some way that God's not working things out the way you think it should work out. And you get dented in your spirit. And next thing you know, you end up over here running away from God, running away from the good things in your life. And you find yourself, watch now, in opposition to something good in your life just because you've run into something difficult in your life. I meet a ton of people. I witness to them and I talk to them and I counsel with them. And you say, well, how did you get on this road of life, this messed up road that's not going the right place? You're actually in opposition to what's best for your life. The Bible's trying to lead you in the right way. The Bible's trying to teach you the right things. You've got a preacher in your life that's trying to, in meekness, trying to, with love and long-suffering and patience, instructing you and trying to keep you on the right track in your life. And you're in opposition to everything, pushing against it. It's almost like you hate God. It's almost like you hate the Bible. It's almost like you hate Christianity. What is wrong with you? If you dig deep enough, you start finding out what a lot of them, they've been hurt at some point in their life. And because of the pain they've got in their life, they don't know how to make sense of all the things. Listen to me, let me tell you something. If you're saved or if you're lost, you still go through difficult things in life. It rains on the just and the unjust. Everybody has things in life they go through. The difference is, with being a child of God, I have someone I can hold on to as I go through it. And so sometimes people, you got to endure hard as a good soldier. Sometimes they go through things and it's tough and it hurts them and it's difficult. But they continue to push through that and don't, listen now, don't let the difficult thing you go through get you off track to make you turn into a vessel of dishonor. I remember when I came back from Thailand and we were really struggling with just a lot of things because the Bible says, and I can't remember exactly where the address of this verse that's in Proverbs, but it says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. I think that's the way it says it. And I think it says, when the desire comes, the tree of life. I forget exactly where it's at, but hope deferred. That has become a real phrase in my life with people when I talk to them. Sometimes people go through what I call deferred hope, meaning they had an expectation that things were going to turn out this way in some area of their life, and it didn't. And what happens is, when you have an expectation it's going to turn out this way, and it doesn't, it becomes hope that it's been deferred, set aside, maybe a break, it takes time. And being a couple, worked in law enforcement for a long time and seeing a lot of abuse cases with children, being a person that we wanted children for all those years and we weren't having children, and I'm seeing people that had children, that did not want children, that were hurting their children, I'm thinking, how does this seem fair, God? This doesn't seem fair. And then to sell everything you've got and travel off to a different country and put everything into it, it doesn't work out the way you thought it was going to work out. And after a year, come back and have no money, no home, no job, no future, no nothing, 38 years old, the only thing you know how to do is law enforcement and military, and you thought you maybe you knew how to do a little bit of a ministry, but that isn't working out. And you start thinking, man, what in the world's going on? And I got really low, and watch now, listen, I got really low. I had some preachers call me and say, why don't you come to where I'm at, and you can be on staff with me, I'll help you. And I said, really, I just don't feel like doing anything right now. That's a dangerous spot to be in. I want you to listen to me real close. I just didn't feel like doing anything right now. You're about half a step away from being headed down a road that takes you to a vessel of dishonor in that case. And I had a preacher, Brother Freddie, who's been here before, he said, if you're not, this is what he said to me, if you're not careful, you will travel down a road that you'll become a vessel of dishonor. And he brought me to that place right there in Scripture. He said, you will be an illustration that preachers will preach about that guy that was on fire for God, that was serving God, that was doing stuff for God, that was going through all these things with God and his family and his wife and him, and that he was preaching, and that he went to Thailand, and he came back, and saw people saved, saw things going on, and was doing great things. You say, what is he doing now? They say he's nowhere. He's selling cars somewhere. He's not doing anything for God. He doesn't even go to church. He said, you will be an example of what not to be in life. And I said, well, I don't want that. So you know what I had to do? Endure hardness as a good soldier. I had to just say, it's tough, but today I'm going to get up and keep going. Yeah, it hurts, but today I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep another step forward. Just endure hardness as a good soldier. How do I position myself to be a vessel of honor? Well, get saved. Two, spread the word, tell the people. Number three, have a soldier's attitude. Look at verse number 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. And he goes through several things here. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. Consider what I say, and the Lord giveth thee understanding in all things. And he goes through several things here, but the next one is this, striving for mastery and striving lawfully, meaning this, you got to put some effort into your walk with God. Folks, listen, you don't become a vessel of honor for the Lord Jesus Christ by just sitting back and saying, well, dump it on me, Jesus, I'm here, just give me all I got. You got to put some effort into your Christian walk. Folks, listen, you're never going to learn the Bible until you spend time in the Bible. This is an opportunity right here. We're sitting in church where somebody has labored over and put together scriptures to preach to you. Now listen, God and the Holy Spirit has put everything that God wants us to know in the pages of a book. I mean, everything. If somebody said, listen, there's going to be the wisest man that ever lived is holding a conference somewhere and we can go travel. We travel all over the world to go hear men speak. But yet, here is God put in writing everything he wants you to know. It's sitting right in front of us and we never open it up. And then you've got, you know, I would say gifted pastors and teachers that try to teach you the Bible, and you come in, and this is an opportunity for you to dig in with us as we try to serve you the manna of God's Word. It's an opportunity for you to sit down and pull out your pen and take notes and write them down and think on them and dwell on them and meditate on them and leave. And I would dare to say some of them maybe go home and you think, what did he preach on? I say, I don't remember. I remember there was a really good song at the beginning. I remember this or that, but you don't remember it. Listen, you need to be going home and thinking about what is being preached and dissect it, take notes, write them down, talk about it with your family, spend some time in it, and get a hold of the truths of God's Word. Listen, if you want to be somebody that's able to stand up and say, well, I'm doing something for God, not in a prideful way, but for God's glory, you're going to have to be somebody that strives for mastery. You're putting effort into it. Listen, nobody that ever won the Olympics by sitting on their couch, drinking Pepsi, and eating Cheetos. They never did it. If there was an event where you could win with Cheeto eating and Pepsi drinking, I would enter that event tomorrow. That'd be great. I'd be all over it. Nobody ever wins things for doing nothing. You've got to put effort into it. Listen, you want to be the very best baseball player the world's ever seen? You got to put effort into it. Best football player the world's ever seen? You got to put effort into it. You want to be the best soldier? Listen, when I was in the military, man, I was trying to outdo everybody. I was trying to be the best, the best, sharpest dressed boots. You know, Stacy, I'd spend hours on top of hours on top of hours. Back when you shined boots, this is back in the old army, I used to spend hours on top of hours on top of hours. You could see yourself like a mirror in my boots. I would spend great amounts of time perfecting everything. My PT score was going to be the very best PT score. I was going to outdo everybody else in our unit. I was going to strive to be the very best that I could be in anything I was going to do. Listen, if you want to be the best soldier, put some effort into it. You're going to be the best investor, builder, whatever. You put effort into it, right? How many say amen to that? You want to be a good Christian? You got to put effort into it. You can't just sit back and hope that Jesus is going to just pour it in. You got to put some effort into your Christian walk. You got to strive for masteries. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, I'm going to read this to you. It says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" Everybody's running. But one receiveth the prize. That's how it works. One receives the prize. He says, "So run that you may obtain." And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. I mean, you've got to keep yourself under control. It says this, "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown." When you run in a race, in Olympics, you get a corruptible crown or some kind of medallion. He says, "But we, an incorruptible." And this is what he says, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." I want you to think about something for just a second. I want you all to follow with me for just a minute. You have got to start bringing your body under control. Starting this morning, you need to get a grip of your, listen, the Bible talks about it. I believe it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I believe it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Knowing how to possess your vessel, this body. Your body is a vessel. Now, I want you all to listen to me. You're either going to be a vessel that is honorable in the household to God, or you're going to be a vessel that is dishonorable to God. There's enough people, listen again, being real serious with you. There's enough people that you could point to this morning, and I don't even think it's wise to spend your time pointing at anybody, but there's enough people you could point to this morning and say, they're off track and they're an example of what not to do today. Don't let you be another one of those statistics of what not to do. So you know what you need to do? Get a good grip of yourself. That's what Paul said. I'd hate to be someone that's telling others, man, you're to live for Christ. You're to live the Christian life. And I end up not keeping myself under control and end up being a mess. You need to bring yourself under control. I've had enough phone calls from people that have just, their life is out of balance. Listen, they can make it look good at the right times, but they're in opposition to what's best for their life. Listen to me now. They're in opposition for what's best. You say, "But I'm in church." Yeah, but inside you may be in opposition to what's best for your life. And so what you need to do today is say, "I'm getting a grip on this right now." And so you have to strive for masteries. You got to strive lawfully. You got to put yourself in the right. You got to put yourself in the right spot with God. You keep on going down in verse number 9. Watch what he says: "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even as unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." Meaning, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ above that. But he's saying this: we're going to have people that are going to say some things about us and call us evildoers when we're doing nothing evil. You understand that? They hated Jesus, Believe me, if they hated Jesus and he did the things he did, they're going to hate us. Now, watch now. I want you to see something. It's not that we give them opportunities to hate us. In 1 Peter chapter, I think chapter 4, it says, if you suffer as a, and he goes through all this stuff as a murderer or as a thief or whatever. He says, if you suffer as, and he goes through all these good things, but then he says, but don't let it be as an evildoer or as a murderer or as a busybody of other men's matters. Meaning this, you're going to suffer for just taking a stand for Jesus. You're going to suffer enough by just saying Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's people that are not going to like you just because of your stand for Jesus Christ. People are not going to like you just because maybe you've got a sticker on your car that says something about Christ, or a sign in your yard that says something about Christ, or the fact that whenever you bow your head to eat at a meal and you pray over your meal and you say amen, people are going to not like you simply because your stand for God. Don't give them reason to legitimately hate you and hate God. They're going to find reasons to do it. But this is what he says. If you'll just live for God, you'll have people that'll stand against you. And he goes on. Watch the last one. He says, verse 15, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a worker that he'd not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to study. You need to study. Put some time in studying the word of God. In verse 16, watch what it says, and shun profane and vain babblings, for they increase unto ungodliness. And we say something else. You need to push away from some things that are in your life, or people even that are in your life, that are causing you grief to stumble. You'd have to push some things away from you. Listen, that's what he said. I'm just preaching to you what the Bible says, word for word, what it says. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You need to get away from some things that are going to try to pull you the wrong direction. And then he says, look at verse number 22. I skipped what I preached to you, what I said to you first. Flee also youthful lust. You're going to have to get away from some of the things that you used to lust for, and you need to follow after righteousness. You know what righteousness is? Doing right. Follow righteousness and faith and charity, which is love and action, and peace with them. With them. Listen, follow along with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know what you're doing in church today? You're following along with them that call unto the Lord out of a pure heart. Stay away from all those that are not calling on the Lord and start connecting with those that are calling on the Lord of a pure heart. You have to push away from some things. Listen, I wrote this phrase down this morning, doing a little more research. When a person becomes a Christian, he usually undergoes some radical life-changing experiences, especially if he has had an immoral background. So somebody has an immoral issue, they deal with it, and then there's an awakening to the fact that I need Christ in my life. And now watch this now. Through the first steps of spiritual growth and self-denial, he gets rid of the large, obvious sins. But sad to say, many believers stop there. They don't go on to eliminate the little sins that clutter the landscape of their lives. I got saved and I'm getting rid of all the big issues. Folks, listen, there's a spot, I believe it's Song of Solomon, the little boxes spoil the vine. It's little things sometimes that add up in our life that cause us a great deal of problems. So you need to follow after righteousness and faith and charity and peace. Listen, you can either be, watch now, you can either be clean or you can be unclean. You can be set apart for God or you can be set into this world. Watch now, you can be a vessel of honor or you can be a vessel of dishonor. You say, well, I can imagine some of you be sitting right here and thinking, but you don't understand, there's a lot of things. It's complicated. My life has become very complicated with sin and with different issues. How do I start making a change? It's just that one word right there, start. Just make a start today to start adjusting some things in your life for God. Just make a start today. There was a story about a girl that was talking to a deacon in the church about her salvation. She said, I don't know if I'm saved or not. And she says, I accepted Christ, but I still feel like I commit sins. And she said, in fact, I feel like I'm a greater sinner than ever now. You know, now that I understand some more things, I feel like I'm a greater sinner than ever. And he says this. This is what the little conversation, I wrote a portion of it down. He says, I don't quite know how to explain it, she said, except for I used to be a sinner running after sin, but now that I'm saved, I'm a sinner running from sin. And see, that really ought to kind of be the testimony of our life. You say, well, after you get saved, you're sinless. No, no, but here, this is the way my life used to be. Before I got saved, my life was spent chasing after the sins of this world. But after I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and got into a walk with God, it started trying to be, how do I get away from some of these sins in my life to live more like Jesus Christ? Now, folks, if you're saved, that ought to be the testimony of your life right now. I used to chase sin to get more of it. Now I should, the answer should be, I'm trying to flee from sin to get away from it. And so what he says here, this is what he's talking about. He goes through this whole list of all these things, and he says, God knows who's in his household. There's some vessels of honor. If you'll do all those things, well, you can be somebody, God says, there's one of my choice vessels right down there. That's the one I get up for. If he was to say it like this, I get up in the morning, and the first thing I reach for is that cup, that Gary cup, that Brett Bishop cup. No, not Brett Bishop. I reach for that one because I know that's a clean vessel that I can use to fill up and do something. You have the ability to position yourself to be that vessel. So where do I start? Just start. Just start. We're trying to make it as easy as we can for you in this church. We give you opportunities to serve in choir, opportunities in now orchestra, Sunday school classes, handing out gospel tracts, doing all these things we're just talking about. Listen, every one of these, to know salvation this morning, to spread the gospel. We just talk about door hangers. You can go and put them out. To have a soldier's attitude, to strive for masteries. We've got Sunday school classes. We've got a Bible college where I teach you more of the Bible. Listen, we'll work with you. If you say, well, I don't have the money to do it, just come to it. We make everything easy for you. We're trying to give you as much opportunity as we can to get into the Word of God and to grow in your walk with God. And then we're giving you opportunities to be able to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day and He'll be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've got everything you need to be this vessel. But watch now, this is what I want you to get. Some, maybe not in this room, but some are in opposition. They're opposing themselves. They're in opposition to what's actually best for them. And what they're doing is they're not doing any of those things, and what they end up is in the snare of the devil, taken captive by him at what? His will. When he says it's time, it's time. So I would say today, I want you to position yourself for greatness. Not positioning yourself in opposition to greatness. I want you to be a vessel of honor, not a vessel of dishonor. And so, if you're not saved today, I would say you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, I was gonna show you a verse. I'm not gonna do it. You can go back and read it if you want to. But in 1 Kings chapter 9, there is a spot where God's talking to Solomon. Remember, Solomon prayed and said, "I want wisdom," and God says, gave him wisdom, gave him everything. Right? Remember? And God said this to Solomon. He said, listen, if you will follow in the things that I've given you, I will make you great. Even make your children's children great. I'll establish your kingdom. I'll do everything. But he says, if you go the other way, if you start turning your back on me and on the things God, this is what he said. He uses two words. You will become a byword and a proverb. Is you'll become a byword and a proverb, meaning this, you'll become an example of what not to ever be in life. He said, and people will walk by and wag their heads and say, what became of this? And the answer will be, because they would not do, because they departed from the thing that was best. Didn't mean he stopped being God's child, but it did mean this. He was an example of what not to be in life. You know what people say? When you talk about Solomon. Look at what Solomon did. Early years or late years? Because he started off great. You know what many of you, you got saved, you started off great. I mean, on fire for God. But in Solomon's latter years, you know what the Bible says in 1 Kings 11? His heart was turned away from God. You know what he found himself doing? He found himself erecting statues to Moloch. That's what it says in 1 Kings 11. You know what Moloch was? Moloch was the statue that it was a bull with his hands held out. And it would beat a drum so no one could hear the screams. And people would sacrifice their infants on that for prosperity. You say, how could someone, the wisest man in the world, positioned for greatness, that had the promise of greatness, end up becoming a man that is so vile, that's recorded in the Bible, that this is what he would do with children? Why would this happen? You know why? He departed from what he was supposed to be doing with God. And anybody sitting in this room can get so far away from God in their heart, they start doing some things that you would say, I never thought I'd be doing that. You know where they are now? He is an example, recorded in the Bible, an example of what never to do in life. Folks, I'm persuaded better things of you, the Bible says. We want to be vessels of honor. If you're not saved, get saved. If you're saved, start studying. Start getting in the Word of God. Start sharing your testimony with other people. Tell somebody else about what Jesus Christ has done in your life. I mean, endure hardness as a good soldier. When you suffer, just suffer for Jesus. Shun, get away from some of those things that are causing you the most problems in your life. Be set aside from God. Listen, or for God, flee youthful lust. Run away from some of those things that are bothering you in your life. Listen, if you've got to get rid of the internet in your home, get rid of your internet. If you've got to get rid of your phone, get rid of your phone. Whatever you've got to do to get yourself away from some of the filthiness in this life, do it so that you don't become a vessel of dishonor. Be a vessel of honor. Be something that God says, choice vessel right down there. Don't be taken captive by the devil at his will. Let's stand. Lord, you know the hearts of these people this morning. And Lord, I love these folks. I do. I love the ones that are watching, that I know are watching this morning. I love them. We want the best for them. We want them to have a great life with you. The warning is true, because we live in just such a desperately wicked world. I mean, it is so messed up. Everywhere around us, there's so many vile opportunities to try to get your people off track, to get choice vessels. And these people are choice vessels, to get these choice vessels into a dishonorable position. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd please help them to keep walking with you in a very honorable way. Lord, I pray for that one this morning that maybe is a long ways off from where they're supposed to be. Lord, in their heart, they're far off and they're drifting further. I pray you'd help them to reconnect, to get more involved, to get more secure in what they're doing with you. That, Lord, they can be that great vessel of honor. Lord, bless. I pray that one that's not saved this morning, they'd get saved. Lord, please do a work in the hearts of these people. Lord, we need you in a great way. Do a work now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me say this before she plays. Do you know that Paul started off being, the writer of this, started off being a vessel of dishonor and became a vessel of great honor? You can, this morning, you say, well, I've been a vessel of dishonor for a long time. You can become a vessel of great honor right now. You say, well, I'm a vessel of honor. If you're not careful, you can become quickly a vessel of dishonor. So you say, well, I've been messed up. Just get on track with God. You can come to an altar and pray. You can pray at your seat. Listen, it's that fast. We confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can get right with God right now this morning. You don't need me to do it for you. You can do it. You talk to Him and He can forgive you and put you on the right track this morning. Don't let anything stop you from doing that. Whether you got to do it in your seat or do it at the altar, just get your heart right with God. Whatever it is, salvation, service, whatever it is, get your heart settled with God this morning. She's going to play. Give you a chance to pray.